You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Last week, the Green Party released a statement addressing the proposed immigration changes by the government and how they could fail to guarantee pathways to residency workers in the types of jobs deemed essential throughout the pandemic by prioritising high-income earners instead of focusing on the well-being of workers and enabling migrants to put down roots. I spoke to Green Party spokesperson for immigration, Ricardo Menendez-March, on the matter.
The government has some proposed immigration changes to guarantee pathways to residency to workers in the types of jobs deemed essential throughout the pandemic. And this will obviously prioritise high-income earners instead of focusing on the well-being of workers and enabling migrants to put down roots. So what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, so, I mean, the government has been meaning to launch a whole rebalance of the immigration system. And in some ways, unfortunately, the announcement last week entrenched the worst parts of our immigration system, which is this ongoing divide between low-wage migrants and high-income earners. And so the government created a green list of people who can access residency pretty much immediately, but a sort of second-tier list of people who have to wait 2 years. And then everybody else, as far as we're concerned, the only guaranteed pathway right now is if you earn twice the median wage, which is like around $110,000 a year. And what we are saying is that some of the groups that were excluded were people who were deemed essential during the pandemic. I'm thinking of our supermarket workers, some of our allied healthcare workers, actually, who are going to be striking today, and other groups that again, we're essential to keeping our society running, but are in low wages through no fault of their own.
The Greens have said that this immigration reset would entrench discrimination, especially towards low-waged migrants. So could you just touch on this a bit?
Yeah, so if you're a low-wage migrant, and so say you're earning under the median wage, what you're likely to end up being in what we call an employer-bound visa. And these kind of visas have been deemed problematic by multiple groups, including unions and even the Productivity Commission. An employer-bound visa is a visa that basically means that you can only stay in the country as long as you're working with a specific employer. And there's been multiple reports of how that kind of scheme creates a power dynamic that enables exploitation. And so the longer that somebody is kept in that kind of visa, the more likely that they're to be exploited. And for high-income earners, they're way more likely to be able to exit that kind of arrangement into pathways to residency, whereas for other people, they're going to remain there. And the government acknowledged that some industries continue to be low-paid. In fact, they created an exemption for groups in the tourism and hospitality sector for the next few years where they can come in, still be paid lower wages, but have no pathway to residency. So it's this idea that we recognize that migrant workers continue playing a key role in keeping our economy running, yet we just want them to support business owners as opposed to acknowledging that if these workers are contributing to our society, they deserve to have pathways to residency in the same way that other workers do.
Yeah, now I'm also reading here that this would especially impact migrants from India and the Philippines, correct?
So we know that a lot of the workers who are earning less than twice the median wage are from places like India and the Philippines. And so we do feel like this announcement is relatively racialized and loaded in the sense that the government was actually quite explicit in the subsequent international education announcement that they wanted to, quote, diversify the groups of people that that were coming into the country. And so by creating this sort of blanket twice the median wage requirement for pathways to residency, what we are effectively doing is ignoring the reality that we have a gender wage gap and an ethnic wage gap. And I think that ethnic wage gap is really represented on the fact that basically we've got 14,000 Indian nationals earning less than twice the median wage, and only around 60 in some of those visa schemes that earn twice the median wage. And that is a ratio that is very different from, say, people from the UK or the US as well. So those ethnic wage gaps will ultimately be represented in who gets residency.
Now, the Greens are calling for an immigration rebalance in order to help fix this issue. Could you touch on this a bit as well?
So what the Greens would have liked to do was to do an immigration rebalance that puts workers' rights at the forefront. So what we would have done is decouple work visas from single employers and create pathways to residency that recognize the contributions that migrants make. We would have used different criteria. I think the R21 visa that was announced last year had some better sort of framework around acknowledging, for example, if a migrant is settled in Aotearoa, if they are working in industries that are needed or industries that are scarce. And so we would have reworked it to acknowledge that, as well as two other things that the government has been considering, but we're not in the immigration rebalance, such as an amnesty for overstayers, as well as review the RSC scheme that currently kind of, again, treats Pacific workers as commodities, and often those workers are put in exploitative situations without, again, any pathways to residency.
This week is obviously quite big, with the government announcing their emissions report today, and we've also got the budget later this week on Thursday. Is this something we need to see addressed in the budget?
I mean, so what in the space of immigration, what we do hope to see in the budget is a commitment to properly resource Immigration New Zealand to stop visa processing delays. Immigration New Zealand, unfortunately, is currently run as a business dependent on visa fees. So they dried up during the pandemic, creating a massive sort of shortage of staff and resources. So we do need to see something, hopefully, in the budget to ensure that Immigration New Zealand is treated as a core public service that delivers quality services for migrants, as opposed to just a business arm of the legislation.
That was the Green Party spokesperson for immigration, Ricardo Menendez-March, on the proposed immigration changes from the government.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.